Sometimes unbelievers will say that they just want some kind of proof, some undeniable sign that God exists, and then they would believe in him. But Christians also sometimes say something similar, wishing that God would do some great big thing so that everybody could see it and believe in him, or even to do something more in order to calm our fears, so that we would have a solid reason to know that God is going to keep his word. Scribes and the Pharisees in our gospel reading for today were looking for some kind of sign from Jesus, some undeniable proof that he is who he says that he is. But the trouble is that it's not as if Jesus had done nothing, as if they had absolutely nothing to go on. The scribes and the Pharisees had seen Jesus do very great miracles. They had heard him say very great things. But the trouble was is that they refused to accept these things for what they were. They still refused to believe. Because the problem is not with God, Christians. The problem was with their sinful hearts, a hardness of heart which led them to ask for more when there was no need to ask for more. They were walking contrary to him, and that was the source of the problem. And so Jesus answers them by giving them two examples and one sign. And I want to begin with the examples first. Jesus says in verse 41, "The men of Nineveh will rise up the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Because in the book of Jonah, when Jonah finally got to the great city of Nineveh, we are told that the city of Nineveh was so large that it took 3 days to go through it. But going 1 day's journey into the city, Jonah began to preach a very simple message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh would be overthrown. But despite being just one man, and despite the simplicity of his message, the people of Nineveh began to talk. And his proclamation spread like wildfire all throughout the city, so that even the king of Nineveh came to hear of it. And he told all the people of the city to repent and to turn back towards God, so that perhaps the city would be spared. And God saw what they had done in their repentance, and his anger ceased. Even though most of the people of Nineveh did not hear Jonah directly, most of them only heard what others said that he had said, yet that was good enough. That simple message, that one single message, was enough to turn the whole city back towards God. But now one greater than Jonah had finally come, and he was preaching the same simple message of repentance. Not just once, but over and over again. And yet, despite all of that, the people refused to hear. Because the issue was not God giving them too little to go on or saying too little to them. Nineveh ultimately repented with far less. It was their stubborn hearts that moved them to reject what Jesus said. And therefore, Jesus says, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment and condemn them, because Nineveh believed on the basis of one single message. And they refused, despite having so much more. Jesus gives them another example. He says in verse 42, "The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Because at the height of Solomon's kingdom, his reputation spread far and wide, so that it came even to the kingdom of Sheba, hundreds of miles to the south on the Arabian Peninsula. And the queen, hearing these rumors about Solomon, decided to go see these things for herself. And so she traveled the hundreds of miles between their kingdoms just so she could see if the things that she heard about Solomon were actually true. But not only did she find that they were true, she also found that the half of it had not been told her. All the things that God had given to Solomon far exceeded all of her expectations. She came to see all that she had heard about was in fact true. And the queen of Sheba came practically from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet those in the time of Jesus could barely go out of their own homes in order to hear him. So the issue was not God hiding something from them. They had heard and seen so much, and yet they still refused. And that's why the Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment and condemn that generation. She went so far on so little, and they refused despite having so much more. But Christians, this is not just a problem of the scribes and the Pharisees from so long ago. As if they refused and they're somehow so different from us. We might try to say to ourselves, they saw and did not believe, but if we saw the same thing, well, we would be different. We would not be like them. All we would need is just one proof, just one undeniable sign, and that would be good enough. Then all the unbelievers of the world would see that there is a God, and we would know for sure that God means what he says. Just one sign. That's all we need. But the problem is not with God, Christians. The problem is our stubborn hearts. A heart which refuses to accept as true what God has already said and done. Unbelievers do not reject God because they have too little evidence. They reject him because they don't want to let go of their sins. We do not doubt God because he gives us too little to go on. We doubt God because of our sin. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, Jesus says, not because God has given them too little. What he has given them is enough. But that generation would reject even any sign given to it, no matter how great or how many they may be. But Jesus, in his mercy, gives one sign, and only one sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. He says in verse 40, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Because in the book of Jonah, Jonah was cast overboard in the midst of the great storm, and God sent the great fish to swallow him up, where he remained for 3 days and three nights. But as we hear in the book of Jonah, he was praying in the belly of the great fish, calling on God as if he were in fact dead, surrounded by the great deep. But God brought him forth again, lifted him up back to the land of the living, so that he would be able to go on and do what God wanted him to do. But Jesus was not pointing them back towards Jonah, the prophet of old, because one greater than Jonah is now here. Jesus says that the Son of Man would also be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He would be truly dead. But just as Jonah of old was brought back to the land of the living, so on the third day the Son of Man would rise again back to true life, so that the living and resurrected Christ is the great sign, the one undeniable proof that Jesus is who he says that he is, and the proof that God means what he says. If people will not accept this sign, if they still want something more than the resurrected Christ, no sign will ever be good enough. Their stubborn hearts will still refuse. But Christians, no other sign is needed. Jesus lives, and therefore there is no reason to doubt. Jesus lives, and therefore we know that what God says is true. Jesus lives, and we know therefore that all of God's promises will come to pass. Jesus lives, and therefore there is no need for fear. Jesus lives, and therefore our sins are forgiven. Jesus lives, and therefore we also will live. Jesus lives, and therefore we shall conquer death. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who has given your resurrected Son as the sign of your love and faithfulness, take away all of our doubts and lead us in the way of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.